Hey friends, welcome to the City Hope Podcast. My name is Bobby Thompson, and I have the privilege of serving as a lead pastor. I pray that today's message would inspire you, it would encourage you, and it would also challenge you in your walk with Christ. Enjoy today's sermon. Amen. Amen. Can we give our worship team a big thanks for leading us so well today? Thank you, guys. Well, good morning. Thank you for being here. My name's Bobby. If I haven't got to meet you yet, I would love the opportunity to say hey after the service. Man, I've just been praying this week. I've been praying for you that you would walk out of here and experience Jesus today. There's a lot of people, and we have a great team, and there's a lot of good things going on, but I want you to walk out of here today knowing you met with Jesus. And so a lot going on today, and I know things are a little bit different for those of you that come with us or been here a while. One thing I do want to make note, and we'll probably talk about it again at the end, next Sunday is Father's Day, all right? So all the dads, shout out. It's going to be a great day. All right, hopefully you get a nice big steak and just a good day. But we're going to give away something that I think is pretty cool. And there's one caveat I'll tell you later. But we're going to give away a free foursome to play golf at Chichesse Creek Golf Club. All right. And so if you're a golfer, that's a big deal. All right. If not, if you win that thing, you're going to get a lot of new friends, okay? There's going to be a lot of people that want to be your friend, all right? And the caveat is it's a free foursome, but I have to be one of them, so it's really a free threesome. I'm kidding. But no, seriously, we're going to give that away next Sunday. I'm so excited about that. And next week is going to be great. Really close, great friend of mine is going to come in and be speaking a great message. So I'm excited for that. Come back, invite somebody to come with you. I got to start today with a little question that's been on my heart. It's been on my mind for a while now. And I don't know if there's anything worse than what I'm about to ask you. Have you ever sat down in your car, you got ready to go somewhere, and someone has moved your seat? And someone got in your car, or they moved your mirrors? Anybody, is there anything worse than someone getting, you're just ready, right? And I don't know what's worse, like, you gotta change everything, or is it the fact that it doesn't ever get back to what you think it should be, right? It's always still messed up. Like, man, it's just not that comfortable. It's frustrating, right? And this is a big deal. Let's not get it twisted, because if you don't get your mirrors right, you're going to create some blind spots, right? And blind spots can put you in some tough spots in driving and in life, right? And so I want to just think about that today. And obviously, I'm not talking about driving a car too much, but today, what are some blind spots in your life? Are there some mirrors in your life that you need to check? You know, like, there's so much going on around, right? Go back to driving. We're just teaching our oldest daughter to drive. Our middle daughter just turned 15. She's wanting to go get her permit. And man, she can't drive, y'all. It's so bad. Like, it's really bad. And we're like, you know, gas on the right, you know, brakes on the left. And I mean, we're checking mirrors, and there's so much, right? You got to see who's beside you. You got to look in the mirror, who's behind you. What's the maniac in the white car doing? Like, there's so much. But think about life too. We got to keep our head on a swivel, right? Culture's changing, life changes. Life changes for us. Just, you know, we move or we get married, we have kids. Like, there's just so much going on that we got to kind of always be checking our mirrors in our life. When's the last time you checked your mirrors? When's the last time that you in your life, you just kind of looked and just really, really, really got honest with yourself about where you're at and what's going on around you? Are there some blind spots that you just haven't seen? When's the last time you checked your mirrors? Long ago, there was a man named Abraham in the Bible that I believe he kind of felt like we do. He had to keep up with everything going on. There was a lot changing in his life. There was a lot changing all around him. And we're today in the second week of a series we started last Sunday called The God Of. And we're looking at how God was the God of Abraham. And we're trying to learn a little bit about Abraham and his journey and what he had going on. Did you know that Abraham, he is like a vital person in three different major religions in the world? He's a vital person in Judaism. They hold him in high esteem. Islam holds Abraham in very high esteem. And obviously Christianity, we hold Abraham. I mean, he's the father of many nations. Abraham, even though he was high esteemed and he has like this great track record, man, he was in some tough spots a lot of times when we read about his life. And man, he had so much change going on, right? He lived in one place for like 75 plus years. And then all of a sudden, God's like, man, I need you to move and you're going to go get the promised land. Like he was moving. Who loves to move? Anybody? No. Like his name even got changed. His family, again, 75 years, no kids, no nothing. And God's like, man, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. I go from no kids to the father of many nations. Like a lot's going on in Abraham's life. But even though a lot was going on, and even though we read time after time where Abraham kind of, he's kind of checking his mirrors from time to time, Abraham always, always, always stayed faithful to God. Even when things got tough, even when things got to a place that he didn't understand, Abraham's dedication to the Lord never, ever changed. And I think this is probably the biggest reason why God himself, we talked about this last Sunday, God himself refers to himself as, I'm the God of Abraham. Now that's a lot of pressure, man. That's a lot to say, like the God of Abraham. Yeah, I'm Abraham, and he calls himself the God of Abraham. And that's why I believe and we believe that God never changes, but everything changes when God changes you. Everything in your life can change when God truly changes you. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not a big fan of change. I used to kind of, as a young pastor growing up in some of these churches that have been established for a really long time, you know, church people have this kind of stigma that they don't like to change. You know, they've been the same way for 50, 60, 70 years, and they don't like different songs. They don't like different seats. They don't like different colors. Like, they just like what they like, right? And I used to kind of make fun of them, but and then when I started having kids and we started making changes, I'm like, dang, my 9-year-old doesn't like change. My 12-year-old doesn't like. We as people, we just don't love change. But here's Abraham, and God's calling him to some big changes in his life. God's calling to some things that he doesn't really understand, and he couldn't see the whole picture. But instead of questioning, instead of turning his back, he trusted God and moved forward. So today we're going to pick up where we left off last week. If you have your Bible, go to Genesis chapter number 13. Genesis chapter number 13 is where we're going to be today. We'll get through that chapter. And it's a really cool thing. Abraham is heading north. All right, he's been in Egypt, he's heading north, he's got kind of this huge entourage of people, a lot of people traveling with him, all right, a big caravan full of people, livestock, hauling things, how, you know, the things he's going to use to build his next house. He's got a lot going on here, all right, and just like any moving trip, the family, Abraham, he's leaving a lot of things in the rearview mirror, he's leaving a lot of things behind, but he's pushing forward. And he leaves so much behind because God gave him some guidance. God said, here's where I want you to go. And so Abraham said, all right, we're going to leave that behind and we're going to push forward. So let's do this. I'm going to ask you to stand and honor the reading of God's word. And we're going to begin reading in verse 1 here in Genesis chapter 13. Now it's a short chapter, okay? But just follow along the story with me, all right? Put yourself in Abraham, put yourself in this situation. Verse 1, Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev, he, his wife, and all he had, and Lot with him. Now, Lot was his nephew, okay? This was his brother's son, so he's with him as well. 2, Abraham was very rich in livestock, silver and gold. He went by the stages from Negev to Bethel, to the place between Bethel and Ai, where he had, where his tent had formerly been, to the site where he had built an altar, and Abram called on the name of the Lord there. Verse 5, now Lot, who was traveling with Abram, also had flocks, herds, and tents, but the land was unable to support them as long as they stayed together, for they had so many possessions that they could not stay together. There was quarreling between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. All right, so the scene is set. We got all these people, this caravan of people traveling. All the people that were with Abram, all the people that were with Lot, they start fighting. Ah, this isn't my spot. This is me. And is this some quarreling, right? Just a normal move in life, right? So verse 8. So Abram said to Lot, please, let's not have quarreling between you and me, between your herdsmen and my herdsmen, since we're relatives. Is it the whole land before you? And look what Abram does here. He says, separate from me. You go to the left, I'll go to the right. You go to the right, I'll go to the left. So Lot looked out. He saw the entire plain of the Jordan as far as Zoar was well watered everywhere like the Lord's garden, the land of Egypt. Verse 11, so Lot chose the entire plot of the Jordan for himself. Then Lot journeyed eastward and they separated from each other, all right? So Abram's like, look, man, we don't need to fight about this. If you want to go over there, listen, we'll go over here. If you want to go over here, we'll go over there. Take whatever, wherever you want to go. Verse 12, so they separate. Abram lived in the land of Canaan, but Lot lived in the cities on the plain and set up his tent near Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were evil, sinning immensely against the Lord. After Lot separated from him, the Lord said to Abram, look at this. Look from the place where you are. Look north and south, east and west, for I will give you and your offspring forever all the land that you see. I'll make your offspring like the dust of the earth. So if anyone could count the dust of the earth, then your offspring could be counted. Get up, walk around the land through its length and width, for I will give it to you. Verse 18, so Abram moved his tent, went to live near the oaks of Mamre at Hebron, where he built an altar for the Lord. Would you pray with me real quick? Father, I pray your blessing on the reading of your word. Speak to our hearts today. You know exactly where we're at on this journey with you, God. And I pray, God, that you would just challenge us and change us and help us to walk out of here striving to be more like you. Lord, if there's one that's here today that man, their relationship with you is kind of non-existent, I pray that today you would be so real. You would show up and your presence would be real. And God, we love you. We praise you. We give you all the honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. There's so many great truths from this story. There's so many things that we can learn from Abraham's journey. And maybe, honestly, today, maybe God's going to reveal some blind spots to you in your life. And that's what blind spots are, right? Places that we really don't know that are there. Maybe we know it, maybe we don't. But I think there's some truths that we can pull out of this. Now, I'm going to be honest with you today. This has been on my heart for so long. I want to call you today to a higher calling. I think as we read about Abraham, there's so many things that we can relate to with Abraham and his life. And today, my heart comes as just a heart to help you grow, a heart to help you in your walk with the Lord, all right? And so there's some hard truths sometimes that have to be said. There's some things that have to come out that we have to be real, you know, just go straight at it. And so that's my heart today that we can learn from this story. Let me give you a couple things that I think we can learn. Number one. We're all on a journey. We're all on a journey. Each and every person in this room today, young and old, all of us, we are being shaped and formed every single day of our life. You're being shaped or formed spiritually, physically, mentally, intellectually, emotionally. You are being shaped and formed. No matter if you want to be or not, you are being formed. You are on a journey. And I want to talk today, obviously, we're in church, we're talking about the Lord. Let's talk about our spiritual journey for a second. Because this is, again, something that every single person in this world is on. And there's people that say, nah, I'm not much of a spiritual person. You're still being formed. There's still something forming your opinion. There's something forming the things that you say. Spiritual formation is not this like optional pursuit for this small group of people who just want to go deeper in their relationship with Christ. That's not what spiritual formation is. You are being spiritually formed. There is an inner you. You have a spirit, and it is being formed in one way or the other. I say this, if you're not being intentionally formed by Jesus, then it is highly likely that you're being unintentionally formed by someone or something else. Let me say that again. If you're not being intentionally formed spiritually by Jesus, it's highly likely that you're being unintentionally formed by someone or something else. So what does intentional spiritual formation even mean? What does that look like, right? Because if I'm being formed, we're all on a journey, just like Abraham and his people here. They're on this journey. You and I are on a journey, on this spiritual journey. What does it mean to be intentionally spiritually formed? And it goes like this. The process of becoming more like Jesus for God's glory and the benefit of others. If I want to be intentionally spiritually formed, it's the process of becoming more like Jesus Christ for God's glory, for the benefit of others. This is a never-ending journey. This is something that you are going to be on your entire life as you're guided by the Holy Spirit. This consistent submission of my own will is intentional spiritual formation. One of my favorite characters in all the Bible is King David. If you know anything about David, man, he started out, got called real young to be the king, and then he had these ups and downs. He did some really great things. He did some really stupid things. But the thing I love about David is when you read his words, you read a lot of prayers of David, and man, he's just so straightforward with the Lord, and he's like, I'm angry, or I'm upset, or I'm foolish, or, I just imagine today, I'm an idiot. Why did I do that? He's just real. And David gives us some glimpses of what real spiritual formation is. Listen to what he says. I'm just going to give you one verse, Psalm chapter 63, verse 1. Look at David's words. He says, God, you're my God. So he makes it personal. You're not just some distant God. You're not just some God that, is way out there in the cosmic. You're my God. And he says, I eagerly seek you. I eagerly seek you, God. I thirst for you, God. My body faints for you in a land that is dry, desolate, and without water. And so here's David, and he's going, man, this is what spiritual, intentional spiritual formation is that, man, I'm chasing after the Lord. I'm listening to him. I'm striving to be all that I can be. Doesn't mean I got it all figured out. But we're all being formed. And so everyone is on a journey. We all have a journey. So Abram, he's on this journey with his people, and everybody there is on a journey. Number two. The second thing I think we can learn from Abram in his journey, leaders bring people along on their journey. Leaders bring people along on their journey. Now, this is a tough one, right? Listen, it says, Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev. He, his wife, all he had, his nephew Lot. Go down to verse 7. We see that there's herdsmen that Abram brought with him. Abram is just following the Lord. He's just being obedient to who God's called him to be. But he's bringing people on the journey with him. He's got his friends. And let me ask you this question today. Who are you bringing along on your journey? Who's on the journey with you as you're striving to be obedient? It doesn't mean you've got it all figured out and you're like, all right, follow me and I'll show you how to do everything the right way. It just means, who am I bringing? This is a tough thing because I got so much going on in my own journey. How can I worry about yours? I got so much going on in my own life. I got rearview mirrors and side mirrors to check. I got plenty of blind spots. How in the world can I worry about what's going on in your life? You see, Abram was being obedient. He was doing exactly what God called him to do. And he had people along the way. And he lived out what it meant to be a true follower of Christ. Now, here's where I want to challenge you today. And here's where I want to really kind of dig in for a minute. As we see Abram, he's got people following along with him, and God calls us to follow. God calls us to be disciple makers. God calls us to be people who do what he did. And here's the question: am I a Christian or am I an apprentice? Am I a Christian? Am I just someone that claims Christ, or am I a true apprentice of Jesus? Now, let's talk about that for a minute. The word Christian, this is going to blow some of your mind. The word Christian is only used 3 times in the entire New Testament. It's only used 3 times. You know how many times the word disciple or apprentice is used? 269 times. The word Christian is not something that really, I believe it's lost its meaning. I believe today the word Christian, it simply means someone who kind of ascribes to the bare bones of Christianity and attends church every once in a while. That's what Christianity is today. If someone calls themselves a Christian, that's probably, oh man, they probably do good. They probably read their Bible. They probably pray. They probably go to church every once in a while. But that's not what a real follower of Christ, according to God's word, is. One author said it like this: Jesus is not looking for converts to Christianity. He's looking for apprentices in the kingdom of God. I believe this is one of the single biggest issues facing our world today. Will Christians turn from their own version of what we think Christianity is, what we think following Jesus is? Will we turn from that and become true students, become true apprentices, become practitioners of who God calls us to be? I'm not just gonna not do these things anymore, but I'm truly gonna follow Jesus. I'm gonna do what Jesus tells me to do. And guess what he tells me to do? He tells me to bring people with me along the journey. He tells me to disciple others. It's not a me first religion. It's not a me first relationship. It is a bring people with me type of journey. Jesus modeled this lifestyle at every turn of his own life. And he always brought his disciples. Read any story about Jesus. Unless he's up praying by himself, you're going to see people in the story that he's bringing with him, and he's teaching them and he's helping them. Always have people around him growing and him pouring into. You see, Abram was the one who was called. Abram was the one who was called to be obedient, to go on this journey, but he brought people with him. He always had people with him. Let me give you three quick keys to an apprenticeship. What do I need to do? All right. And I don't have time to go through all of these, but let me give you three quick things. Access, time, and proximity. Access, time, and proximity. Now, put yourself right here in the middle. Okay. Put yourself right here in the middle, because this works on both sides. If I'm going to be an apprentice of Jesus, all right, it's Jesus and me, then I need to give Jesus access. I need to give Jesus time, and I need to make sure I have proximity to Jesus. Now put yourself on the other side of, if I'm going to bring people along with me, what do I need to do? If I'm going to help people follow Christ, what do I need to do? I need to give them access. I need to give them time, and I need to give them proximity. See, that's the three keys to an apprenticeship. This was Abram's life. This is what he was all about. He wanted to stay closely connected with the Lord, but he wanted to follow who God called him to be. So am I a Christian or am I an apprentice? You see, everybody's on a journey. Leaders bring people along with them on their journey. Number three, the secret to a successful journey is connection with God. The secret to a successful journey is a connection with God. So Abram sets out. He's on the move, this caravan full of people. And look what happens here in verse 3 and 4. He went by the stages of the Negev to Bethel, to the place between Bethel and Ai, where his tent had formerly been. Look at verse 4 here. To the site where he had built an altar, and Abram called on the name of the Lord there. So right smack dead in the middle of his journey, all these people with him, everybody's following him, he stops and he connects with the Lord. The Bible says that he called on the name of the Lord right there. This is so much bigger than just read your Bible and pray every day. That's going back to the bare bones of what it means to be a follower of Christ. This is bringing God into every decision that I make. In the middle of my journey, I'm going to stop and I'm going to connect with the Lord. This is allowing me, God, I need you to help me process this. My relationship, my job, my struggle, my sickness, my addiction, my depression. God, I'm going to bring you into this. God, I'm going to give you permission. You need to edit my life. Edit my life, Lord. Here I am. In the middle of the journey, I find it so crazy that Abram just stopped and he spent time with the Lord. And I know that some of the people that were with him were probably like, what's he doing? Man, we got a long way to go. Why is he stopping? And the Bible says that he stopped and he called on the name of the Lord. You know that there's statistics out now that say the average church attender comes 1.4 times a month. I don't know how you come 0.4 times a month to church, but you do. But here's what I believe Abram is doing, and here's what I believe that you and I need to help and ask ourselves this question. Am I an apprentice? Do I have some blind spots? Do I need to check my mirrors? And if you don't get anything else, hear this. This is what Abram was doing. Reorder your entire life around following Jesus. How do I reorder my entire life around following Jesus? How do I bring Jesus into every single decision that my family makes? How do I bring Jesus into every decision that I make for my relationships, for my business, for my personal walk? How do we do this? And I think this is what Abram's modeling for us. Make Jesus your undisputed top priority over everything in life, over your money, over your vehicles, over your cars, over your boats, over your children, over your family. How do I make Jesus the top priority over everything? So here's Abram, and he's on this journey, and he doesn't forget why he's on this journey. He stops, and he calls out on the name of the Lord, and he connects with God. Remember what Jesus told his disciples? He says, abide in me. John chapter 15. Abide in me and I'll abide in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Connection with God, listen to me. Connection with God is not some technique that we use to kind of control our relationship with the Lord. And all right, I feel a little bit better because I prayed today. I feel a little bit better because, you know, I read a Bible verse. We're not trying to control our relationship with God. connecting or abiding in Christ. It's a skill. It's something that we must develop and we must use and become a habit in our life. One pastor says it like this: most people are just too busy to live emotionally healthy and spiritually vibrant lives. Turn God into a habit, even along the journey. I'm going to stop and I'm going to give God praise. I'm going to connect with God. That's what Abram did. Number four, whoever we bring is going to have their own baggage. Whoever we bring along is going to have their own baggage. Abram's here. He's got his family. He's got his wife, and he brings his nephew. Listen to what verse 5 here says. Now Lot, who was traveling with Abram, he also had flocks. He had herds. He had tents. When we bring them along, we're going to bring along their disbeliefs. We're going to bring along their struggles. We're going to bring along their sins. When we bring people along, every bump in the road that's caused by their decisions, every bump in the road that's caused by their mouth, their voice. We don't bring people along with us because they're perfect. We bring people along because God called us to disciple others. God gave us that example in Jesus, and that's who he calls us to be. So here's Abram, and he's bringing his nephew with him, and then all of a sudden it started to blow up, and things started getting heated, and they started quarreling. They started getting mad at each other. But here's what I believe, and I believe this with all of my heart. There's somebody in your life that can use something that you've already learned along your spiritual journey. There's somebody that God has in your life right now or is going to come soon that can use some of the things that you've learned about marriage and about hardships and about finances and about building companies or whatever. Godly people need to have somebody in their life that they're pouring back into, and there's somebody that can use what you've learned. But you just got to understand, they come with baggage. They come with baggage. Number 5, the last one. We're all on a journey, but that doesn't mean we have the same path. We're all on the journey, but that doesn't mean we have the same path. You remember what Abram did? He stopped, spent some time with the Lord, and Lot, and people started quarreling, people started getting fighting, And Abram said, listen, we don't need to fight about this. We don't need to fight about this. Here's what I want to do. Look out. Wherever you pick, that's yours. That's you. If you want to go over there, we'll go over here. You want to go over there, we'll go. And he tells him, listen, I get it. Whatever you want here. And so they split the land, right? And according to the eye, Lot took all the beautiful parts. Lot took the paradise. Lot took the one that says that had all the water and the trees and all the beautiful stuff. And Abram, he went over here. And the reality is, when you look at it, Lot had the paradise, but you got to remember that Abram still had the promise. Lot got the paradise. He got what everybody else probably looked at. Man, that's pretty nice. And man, I just got the leftovers. But Abram had the promise of God. I think one of the most unhealthy things that we do as human beings is comparing. One of the most unhealthy things that you can do is compare. Because why? It does one of two things, and neither one of them are good. It either makes you feel inferior, like, man, I'm not good enough. I'm going to compare my life to them, and they've got it all together, and I'm just not like them, and so I'm going to take a step back. It makes you feel inferior. Or when I compare, what else does it do? It makes me feel superior. Man, I'm glad I'm not like them. You know, at least I'm better than they are. And so comparison, you know what really, when we compare, there's no winner in comparison. There's no winning when we begin to compare. And that's exactly what we do. Stop comparing other people's journey with yours. Abram looked out and he said, Lot, if that's what you want, man, you go. You go and we'll take the rest. We got to stop comparing other people's journey with our own. Here's a little, let me give you a little breaking news, okay? If people don't do things exactly like you do them, it's okay. If people don't think exactly like you think, it's okay. If there's people that, when you're looking at someone else's journey and you think they got it all together, and man, I wish we had that, and man, I wish this, you got to go back and remember something. They're a sinner just like you. They mess up just like you. They have issues just like you. And guess what? God's their guide, not you. God's the one in charge of their journey. We're all on a journey, But that doesn't mean we're on the same path. You know what, when we're doing, when we compare, we're putting a burden on ourselves that we weren't built for. We are putting a burden on ourselves that we weren't built for. Lot's journey was so different than Abram's journey. And Abram was okay with that. Why was he okay with that? Well, I think another thing that we can learn, another thing that we can understand, is the fact that the best antidote to comparison is grace. The best antidote for you and I to comparison is grace. Verse 9, isn't the whole land before you, Lot? Isn't it all out here? If you, man, separate from me. If you want to go to the left, we'll go to the right. You want to go to the right, we'll go to the left. He notices it, he acts, and he graciously lets Lot pick the land. Let me just encourage you this. Bring grace along on your journey. We're all on a journey. We all got things going on. God's called you to take certain steps, and or maybe you've placed yourself in some tough situations. Bring grace along journey. And it's not, listen. Grace for others, but also grace for yourself. Have grace for other people in your life. God, or Abram had so much grace on Lot. And, you know, Lot, this is where God's called us to go, and I'm being obedient to him. And if you want to go off over there, that's fine. We're gonna keep going, and I'm gonna keep doing this. And Abram had this grace on Lot, but man, so many times, how many of us, we have a hard time giving grace to ourselves? We can give it to everybody else. We can let everybody else have it, and somebody could do the worst of the worst of the worst, and you're right there with them, and you're saying, man, it's okay. There's forgiveness, there's grace, there's mercy. But for you, when you do that one thing, or when you struggle, or when you fall, I mean, you don't have a lot of grace for yourself, and you got to bring grace on your journey. I want you to see what happens when we do bring grace into the journey. Abram was so graceful to Lot, and look what happened. Look at verse 14. After Lot separated from him, the Lord said to Abram, look from the place where you are. Look north, look south, look east, look west. I'm going to give you and your offspring forever all the land that you can see. You see, Abram could have stopped right there and been like, man, it's just not fair. Lot got all the good stuff. He got the paradise. He got the water. He got the trees, man. He got it all. He could have stopped right there, but look what happens. He gave Lot grace, and then God says, all the land that you see. Verse 16, I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth so that anyone could count the dust of the earth and your offspring could be counted. Get up, walk around the land through its length, through its width, for I'm going to give it to you. So Abram moved his tent, went to live near the oaks of Mamre at Hebron, where he built an altar to the Lord. Look what happened. God's grace followed Abraham's grace. God's grace followed Abraham's grace. Abram gave it away, and God returned it back to him. Now, that doesn't mean, don't hear me today saying every time you give grace, you got to expect God to give you something better in return. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about bringing grace on your journey. We're all on a journey, but that doesn't mean we have the same path. God, the God of Abraham, we're able to see he's unchanging, but we're also able to see that he can still change everything. The God of Abraham is unchanging, but he can still change everything. Maybe today you're here and you feel like, man, I got too many blind spots. I got too many mirrors to check. He can still change everything. He can still change everything. Here's what I fully believe in my heart, as we're all on a journey, whether we want to be or not. We all have blind spots. We all have, you know, just time and opportunities to check the mirror. What's God calling you to today? I believe that God is calling the church, not just City Hope Church. I believe that God is calling the church, people who call themselves followers of Christ. He's calling us to this higher living than just the bare minimum of what it means to be a Christian today. I believe that God's calling us to be a true apprentice, to look and see what did Jesus do and do those kind of things. And let that seep into every single aspect of my life. And right now, when I look out, when I see, and this is just my opinion, okay? This doesn't make it right. It's just my opinion. When I look out and I see we got a lot of people that let God into certain aspects of our life. You can get in this lane, God, and you can get in this lane, but I'm gonna keep you out of this lane because I kind of like this one. I kind of like staying over here. I kind of like God. I like you being in my family. I like you being in my relationships. But man, when it comes to my sports, or when it comes to my drinking, or when it comes to the things in my life, I'm gonna keep you out of this lane. And I think God's calling us to this higher living. He's calling us to this apprenticeship. He's calling us to this level of following after him like Abram did, and says, you know what? Like, all right, let's go. I don't know. I don't see the whole picture. I'm just this old dude who lived in the same place for a long time with no kids, but let's go. I'm in. And the God of Abraham is still the God we have today. He's unchanging, but he can change everything. And if you're here this morning and you know that God's been tugging on your heart and he's pushing you and he's calling you and he's encouraging you and you feel just convicted to take some steps along your journey with him, then I just want to encourage you, do it. Take that step. But I also want to let you know you're not alone. I say this a lot, but for me, the most important few minutes of every Sunday are these moments right now that we've sang and we've kind of invited in the presence of God. We've worshiped together. We've given together. We've prayed together. We fellowship together. We hear God's word together. Now what? In these few moments at the end of the service where you've heard from the Lord, you've sang, you've worshiped, and God's speaking to your heart, what are you going to do with that? That's so vital to me. And so many times I get frustrated. We talk about it almost every week. I get frustrated that we're in a cafeteria and that it's not like the best place in the world for somebody to come and have a conversation about spiritual things. And sometimes people, I can see it on your face. Like I get to see it every Sunday where God's just stirring. And I can see you thinking and I can see God moving in your heart. And then we just walk out the back door and if God's speaking to your heart, if God's calling you to a higher journey and you're ready to take some steps in your life, you don't have to do it alone. I can't make you do it. I can't make you have a conversation, but I can let you know this. You've got some people here, some men, some women that love you, that would love to take God's word and talk with you, to share with you, to pray with you, to give you wisdom, to just walk along the journey with you. You don't have to do it alone. Whatever God's speaking to you today, would you be obedient? Would you respond to him today? I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads and close your eyes. We're going to be done here in just a moment. We can go about our day. And man, I love that we can sit here today and read about the God of Abraham. And it's so real to me in 2024. Like, it just blows my mind. The God of Abraham, it doesn't make sense, but he's still speaking to me. Friend, if you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's step one. None of the rest of this makes sense. You're on a journey. You've been spiritually formed up to this point in your life. But if you've never asked Jesus to be Lord and Savior over your life, then can I just tell you, that's the most important decision you'll ever make. If you don't know Christ, take that step today. At the end of the service, come grab me by the hand. One of our prayer team will be here. Whoever. Call me tomorrow. I'll meet with you. I'll call you on the phone. Take that step. Maybe you're here this morning and the reality is God is calling you. God's speaking to your heart about moving from just a Christian to an apprentice. Someone that is truly chasing after and living the life that Jesus calls us to live. That's bringing other people with us. That's more than the bare bones of showing up to church 1.4 times a month. That's God, I'm going to bring you into every single aspect of my life, not just certain lanes. God, I'm going to give you it all. Maybe God's calling you today to take that step along your journey. Maybe God's put somebody on your heart today that you know they need something you have. They need to learn a lesson that you've already learned. They need some wisdom that God's already put in your life. Who's that person that God's calling you to bring along? Who's that person that God's calling you to disciple, to spend time with, to give them access, to give them time, to give them proximity? Whatever God's speaking to you about today, church, be obedient. Abram still had blind spots. Abram was constantly checking his mirrors, looking back. Who's with me? Who's beside me? What's going on? What's changing? But he stayed obedient. Would you be obedient today? Father, I thank you so much for who you are. Thankful for your word. Thankful for how powerful it is, God. Thank you for reminding us today, God, that the God of Abraham, who never changes, can still change everything. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks again for tuning in with us today. We would love to connect with you, and the best way to do that is through social media or go straight to our website. God bless you and have a wonderful day.